You're listening to Catholic Chicago Week in Review on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you conversation about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago Week in Review.
Hello, I'm Jim Dish with the Archdiocese of Chicago's radio TV office, and every Saturday morning here on Relevant Radio, we'll listen to highlights of our Catholic Chicago radio programs that air weekdays at 8 a.m. on WNDZ 750 a.m. Let's begin with a conversation Father Greg Sakowitz, Rector of Holy Name Cathedral, and Catholic Schools Superintendent Dr. Jim Rigg had with Catholic Schools Consultant Bob Hudzik about the Scholarship Tax Credit Program here in Illinois.
And of course, we have a lot going on in regards to the new tax credit scholarship program in the state of Illinois. This has been a real focus of ours as we seek to help our families afford the cost of Catholic education, current families and new families. So, Father Greg, you probably know that in late August, the state of Illinois passed a tax credit scholarship program as part of the state education funding bill. And this new program, called the Invest in Kids Scholarship Tax Credit Program, offers a 75% tax credit to individuals and corporations that contribute to qualified scholarship-granting organizations, or SGOs. And then these SGOs then provide scholarships for students whose families meet the income requirements to attend qualified non-public schools in Illinois. And so SGOs will begin accepting applications for tax credit scholarships later this month. And individuals and corporations are already able to dedicate funds to tax credits now. That window opened on the 2nd of January and is active. So here to help me talk a little bit more about this
and
is Mr.
To help all of us.
Yes, it's Mr. Bob Hudzik, who is a member of my staff and has been very helpful in making sense out of this complicated program, but also to make sure that we fully understand the potential that this program offers to us and to our families.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Now, Great to be with you.
You know, Bob, I think you have set a record as a guest on the radio with us about four or five times the last 2 months. You notice, Jim, Bob has a tremendous poker face.
He does.
He really comes at the table with the cards.
Well, I'm glad to be here with you, and I think it's a perfect opportunity to talk about this. Just building on what Jim said about Catholic Schools Week, once you find that school, you've got an opportunity, if you need financial help, to pay for that tuition with the tax credit scholarship program. So perfect opportunity.
Remind us, how much of the tuition does the tax credit scholarship help with?
Well, of course, it depends upon your income level. So the Invest in Kids Act sets up a scholarship opportunity for lower income families that depends upon your income, and it depends upon the federal poverty level. So for those families, family of four, for example, whose income is below about $45,000, they would be entitled to 100% coverage of their tuition and fees. That tapers down toward the 300% level. And at the 300% level for a family of four, which is about $73,000, the family would be entitled to 50% coverage. So it's a great opportunity for families who need a little help with their education coverage.
Bob, I know that the window for donors opened up on the 2nd of January, and by the close of business, we had over $35 million committed for tax credits by donors in the state of Illinois.
Are you
what
kidding
a
me?
Great way to start
in the
off
first week?
This program. The first day, by 5 p.m., over $35 million. Bob, tell us a little bit more about what happened on the 2nd of January and how donors can get involved in this program.
I'd be happy to, Jim. And we're right in the middle of the process here, so it's a great time to be talking about it. January 2nd, 8 a.m., the Department of Revenue opened their website to be able to reserve tax credits for donations. And on that first day, we did gangbuster business. So it is great. As of yesterday, just in Cook County, which has a total allocation of about $52 million out of the state's total of $100 million, we were up to $32 million just in
Cook County.
Just in Cook County. So that's a tremendous help. But there's still about $20 million left that people can take advantage of and reduce their taxes next year. So I would encourage people, if you are interested, either as an individual or as a corporation, to consider this as an opportunity. It is a 75% state income tax credit against your donation. There's a little bit of a process to do that. You have to register with the Department of Revenue. So I would encourage any of our listeners who are interested in making a donation, go to our Arch Chicago website and find out more information. There's a button to click there about tax credit scholarships. The website is archchicago.org.
One more time.
archchicago.org.
And click on?
And click on tax credit scholarships, and you get lots of information. There's also information from the state. So individuals can go to mytax.illinois.
One more time.
mytax.illinois.gov. And lots of information. You can register. You get your PIN number to go into the Department of Revenue site and make that pledge. And it's all explained on the website with lots of answers to your questions.
And all this, Bob, is there any downside to this, or is it all positive?
There's very little downside that I can think of. It's a tremendous opportunity for donors. It's a tremendous opportunity for families and students and for our schools to provide an opportunity, choice, to select the school that you might not have been able to afford to attend previously.
And you don't have to be a multimillionaire to donate to this cause. I know donors big and small can contribute. If you're looking for, a great way to help out families in the state of Illinois, and, a little bit of help with your state income taxes. Bob, I don't know how many people have come up to me in the last couple of months and asked how they can apply for the scholarships themselves. You talked before the break a little bit about the brackets of who can qualify. Tell us exactly how families can apply for tax credit scholarships.
I'd be happy to, Jim. Tax credit scholarship applications will be sent to something called a scholarship granting organization, an SGO. So these are organizations that are charitable 501c3 organizations that are certified by the state to process applications and to distribute donor funds. There are 8 across the state. There are 2 that are especially active here across K-12. That would be Empower Illinois and Big Shoulders Fund SGO. Those organizations will open their applications January 24th for Big Shoulders.
For Empower in Illinois?
No, for Big Shoulders, January 24th. Did I say that backwards?
Yeah.
January 22nd for Big Shoulders,
right.
January 24th for Empower Illinois. So individuals who are interested in applying can go on the websites of those organizations, and it's empowerillinois.org or Big Shoulders Fund SGO.
Give those once again, Bob.
Empowerillinois.org or BigShouldersFundSGO.org and apply for those scholarships on those websites beginning either the 22nd or the 24th.
And we have links to both of those sites as well as all of the dates that Bob just mentioned on our own website. So that's a good place to start if you're just trying to find out more about this program.
Lots of good information about tax credit scholarships in that conversation. And now we go to Deacon John Cook, who talked with Father David Jones about the Black Catholic Initiative.
Father Jones.
Yes, sir.
We were talking about Keonda Boyd and the youth movement that we're anticipating to make, and I guess we've been making, and we're just, as you said, we need to make some more inroads in expanding our reach with the youth. So are we doing anything specific in terms of goals for the youth this year, and do we have any activities planned specifically for them?
Not in terms of goals, but everything about the Black Catholic Initiative depends on someone or some group of ones coming together and saying, here's what we would like to do. So it would require someone to say, we want to specifically focus on youth and do this in the name of Jesus. So we can fit it into, we can apply our faith to it and say, this is what we're doing, this from a banner of evangelization, specifically engaging younger people. So that there's that does not exist right now, but there have been very promising and exciting conversations with the Knights and Ladies of Peter Claver, with their junior daughters and junior ladies. We were able to, in 2017, help them with some of their activities and also talk with them about some things that we may engage them in. So joint partnership between BCI and KPC going forward, again, that would focus on the group that has already existed of younger Black Catholics.
And that makes sense. And I know that Keonda Boyd, if you're listening, and your mom, Cassandra, you have an event scheduled January the 21st at St. Albie. It's a fundraiser. And it's from 2 to 4, if I'm not mistaken. And we're going to take a look back and bring back some groups like the Jackson 5, the Supremes, and, of course, Tina Turner. We couldn't be without her. And this is all for just $20. This is something that the youth are doing at St. Albie. So I'm asking all our listeners to participate if you can. St. Albie's is located on 91st and Stony Island. Again, that's January the 21st. And it's going to be from 2 to 4. And they're going to have some food, too. And that begins at 1 o'clock. So congratulations once again to Miss Keonda Boyd. And we look forward to seeing you on the 21st. Now, Father, you have another event coming up even before that. I believe it's this Sunday, A Call to Heal Our Land.
Afterwards, the commemoration for civil rights is on the 11th. That's Thursday evening at 5 p.m. down at the Archbishop Quigley Center in the St. James Chapel. And then on Sunday, the 14th, we've invited parishes across the country. Right now, we have a response from 8 dioceses. Off the top of my head, I know New York is there. I know that Washington, D.C. is there. Atlanta, the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So this is an effort that began last year, 2017, where we take the themes of the new year, the themes of the political climate with inaugurations and being celebrated in January, the themes of civil rights that, again, bring us to Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday being a national holiday, and the themes of Black history, because we're getting ready for February, the month of Black history celebrations. And that it kind of kicks off that year with saying we always need to be focused on our unity. So as we are highlighting, celebrating, acknowledging, and challenging the contributions of African-Americans and the struggles of African-Americans, we want to do that in a way that ties us into the whole country. So we've invited all people, Catholics, Protestants, any religious organization will join us in the singing of Heal Our Land. There are many variations of Heal Our Land, but we're really focusing on that theme that we need divine intervention to pull together all that separates us. We cannot do that on our own. That's a part of our faith. That's why we have the church, so that it can promote the unity of human people. So we're excited about we expanded that. It was an archdiocesan event last year. This year, it's a national event. We were able to secure cooperation from a variety of parishes and people across the country, and it's going to be exciting, and it's also going to grow. So it's one of those things that we look forward to seeing. Where is God going to take us with this simple gesture of bringing people together to sing a song that actually becomes a prayer. And it's as I said, the lyrics speak for themselves, and we promoted the version that is by Oscar Williams, who's the artistic director for the Potter's House in Dallas. So they're going to be singing this song as well. And we look at how we will be able to support the arts every year. We can choose a new composer to introduce the people and to bring that message to new life. So this is very exciting.
So let me ask you, how do we organize something like that? It does sound very exciting, but are we doing this in unison over Skype or something, or is everyone sort of on their own at the same time?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It's just like we are on Sundays at church. You know, the whole world is praying. We often talk about how great it is to be Catholic, and you can go to Mass anywhere in the world. So we're not limited. We're not limited. We don't have to be in the same physical space because we're in the same spiritual space. And we're not trying to make this complicated. We're trying to keep it simple because that's what the ideal of Jesus is. It's simple. Let's find our unity. Let's thank God for it, and let's always honor it, and let's protect it. It doesn't take a whole lot of technology or money or people to do that. So, no, if it grows and we suddenly want to simulcast things, that's fine. But right now, we're just knowing that as we are on our knees singing and praying in Chicago, there are going to be people doing and praying for the exact same thing on their knees in Washington, D.C., or in wherever they are.
Well, that's excellent, and I'm looking forward to joining you not only this Thursday, but also on Sunday for that exciting event.
We thank Deacon John and Father David for their thoughts, and we invite you to stick around to hear the latest from our friends at Catholic Charities back after this break.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about his recent trip to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. We'll tell you about the new home for local Catholic radio in the Chicago area, and we'll review a few of the major events of 2017. From the Walk for Peace to Re-Encounter to the Solar Eclipse.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Welcome back to Catholic Chicago Week in Review. Earlier this week, Catholic Charities President Monsignor Michael Boland sat down with Fitzgerald Cron and Ian Stevens to discuss how Catholic Charities is often on the front line of helping to ensure people have a warm place to sleep at night.
Talking about the last several weeks that we've had such a extreme cold weather, and this is what are some of the responses that the Catholic Charities does in Cook County and Lake County and in the city of Chicago. And it has really been a long time that since we've had such a deep freeze, but one that has perdured for several weeks. And usually sometimes we might have a weekend or, you know, 3 or 4 days, but when you look at the 1 week after the next week. And you know, knowing and trying to think about our response and how Catholic Charities tries to respond, and that's why we're just having this kind of a conversation this morning with Ian and Fitz about the importance of how we try to do that, and then how that stretches the well-being of many people or crises that occur, whether that's with the need for food or for clothes or for a shelter, or just some people can live in the outside in the winter. Except when it gets to the severe cold weather, and how we try to respond to these incredible differences. You know, before we were talking about, Ian, about the mobile outreach and our services. What are I know that it's kind of – maybe you could just explain the easy way of how people can call 311 and then what would they say if they think they would like to get help?
It depends on the situation. All our calls come through 311. So it's that simple to call 311. Where you will speak to a dispatcher who will just inquire as to what your call is about. If you're in need of shelter services, you can go to a police station or a hospital. They will let you use the phone for free. You will call 311, speak to someone, say that you need shelter. They will ask where you are. We have about 8 mobile outreach teams. We cover the entire city of Chicago. So a team will be dispatched to your location. They will assess you, see what services you're in need of. If you're in need of shelter services, they will try to provide you with a shelter in the area where you can stay overnight. And sometimes some of them have interim programs that help you with job assistance, further things that you need, getting IDs and those such things. Mm-hmm. Like I said, all the calls come through 311, the city system. Mm-hmm. So it's just that simple, and it's an easy way to assess us.
Yeah, I know that also people sometimes call just because they see a homeless person on the street and they're worried about them.
Correct.
And they'll also call 311, won't they?
Correct. People driving down, seeing people living under viaducts, in tent cities, under their expressways, they will call and say, it's 10 degrees outside, can we go? And we do go out. We assess a lot of those cases. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying earlier, between the 24th of December and yesterday, we've had over 200 cases of just senior well-being checks and crisis alone. Mm-hmm. So right now there's a really great need for it with the Chicago being as cold as it is.
Right. And so, again, I think as people are listening, you know, when we do think about who – these are times we really have to think about who our neighbors are and or friends are and people in the community that we sometimes would normally see. We don't see them much in the wintertime, but we have to just kind of make sure that they're doing okay. And if you try to and can't get a response, you can always call 311, and Catholic Charities can go out there and do a well-being check on them. And,
correct.
And especially, you know, when we think about the seniors, the disabled, people who are just, you know, if obviously, you know, if your heat goes out, a house becomes frigidly cold very rapidly once mm-hmm. the heat is gone. And so that's why these are really crisis situations and really require us to respond very quickly. And so we all have to be thinking about people who we know that are sometimes in these situations, especially for this long period of time. You know, I know that we cover the entire city, correct?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So if someone calls 311, they can go to all the different communities and 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Never close.
Right, yes. It's very important. What are some of the differences in the needs during the summer months versus the winter months?
In the winter months, most of our calls are pertaining to dealing with the coldness, someone's heat going out, someone just need temporary services. In the summer, we see more families. A lot of the families who women with children may be staying with a relative for a short period of time because it is cold outside. But in the summer, family members or whomever they're staying with is saying, you know, you need to move on. So we see more families that need assistance in the summer. We don't see as many singles in the summertime because a lot of them just choose to stay in the parks and on the streets. Yes. But in the winter, we see a lot more of them wanting to get out of the cold, you know, suffering from frostbite and those such things. And we try to assist them more with getting out of the cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't realize that, like, you know, in the extreme heat, which we have in the city, it's also a very dangerous thing for seniors, for people in their homes who don't have air conditioning or people who are just out. You can become dehydrated so quickly, and it's a real challenge.
Correct.
In the winter, you have the extremes, and I think we all sometimes tend to be more sensitive when it's cold out because we realize how cold it is for us. It does hopefully help us think that we need to be out there thinking about other people or trying to help them. I know the Catholic Charity, sometimes someone donates winter gloves or hats, and those are great because as we give them out to people, it's just really an important part when you think about what's out there when trying to keep what is exposed to the winter mm-hmm. or the cold and the wind, like our tops of our heads or our hands and having a good winter jacket is really, those are essentials more than anything else. Maybe we could give us a little story about just about somebody, how we kind of helped them or connected them to get help.
Recently, in the building that we're located in the city of Chicago, there's a security guard in the building, and she's new to the building. She kept looking at me on one day. She said, you know, I know you from somewhere. You look familiar. So she pulled me aside later on, and she says, I know you probably don't remember me, but about a year and a half ago, my husband and my three children and I were homeless. She said, you guys picked us up from a hospital. We assessed her. We got her in temporary shelter, and we helped her get some services she needs. Currently, her and her husband are looking to buy a house. Their kids are in school, and she's working security in the building. So I congratulated her. She gave me a hug, thanked me for all the services that we provided, and it was really great to see someone at the other end.
Yes.
And the outcome would be positive for her.
Right. And I think that happens a lot. You know, that people really sometimes just the idea that somebody cares, somebody's out there, makes a huge impact on somebody, and that, you know, helping them, maybe talk to them or have ways that you can help them is just really an extraordinary, great thing.
And it's always good to hear from Monsignor Boland. Here's a reminder that to find out more about the wonderful work being done every day by Catholic Charities or to make a donation, go to CatholicCharities.net. That's CatholicCharities.net. And we'll be back in a moment with news on a major Respect Life event tomorrow in downtown Chicago.
The hurricanes of 2017 dealt a devastating blow to poor communities across the U.S. People there reached out to the church for help and found it. Faith communities rallied to provide assistance to those in need, and we helped too. We are Catholic Extension. We're helping rebuild churches and schools, and we're supporting communities in areas destroyed by the hurricanes. Funds are desperately needed. To donate, go to catholicextension.org/hurricane relief or call 888-473-2484.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Chicago Catholic school families are receiving a present this Christmas season in the form of tax credit scholarships. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The exciting news is that individuals and corporations that donate to tax credit scholarships will receive a 75% state tax credit while providing scholarship aid for students in need. Individual and corporate donors can reserve tax credits beginning January 2nd, but you need to take steps right now. Go to archchicago.org/TCS to guide you through the process. That site also shows you how to apply to receive scholarship money. You can also call 312-534-2617. Keep in mind, individuals can designate their donations to Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools. The website, once again, archchicago.org/TCS or call 312-534-2617. Thank you for helping families in our Catholic schools.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago Week in Review on Relevant Radio 950 AM and 930 AM. Every Saturday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago Week in Review.
Welcome back to Catholic Chicago Week in Review. I'm Jim Dish, director of the Archdiocese of Chicago's radio TV office. And every Saturday morning here on Relevant Radio, we'll listen to highlights of our Catholic Chicago radio programs that air on 7:50 a.m. weekdays at 8. And we begin this segment of our program with news of a major Respect Life event, actually a series of Respect Life events, tomorrow in downtown Chicago. With that news, let's listen to Dawn Fitzpatrick and Ryan Lentz of our Office for Human Dignity and Solidarity.
This is a big event. It's been going on for 5 years. I came to Chicago 4 years ago and joined the board of directors of the March for Life Chicago at that time. And since then, we have grown it considerably. The first year, they had about 1,000 people walking. We've since boasted just about 6,000. And I'll tell you, I think it's going to be the biggest one ever from what I see. And people are not afraid of the weather. 2 years ago, it was negative 12. And I mean negative 12. And we had wind chill beyond that. Yeah. So we had 5,000 people walking two years ago in that weather. So people are not afraid of it. And it's not just Chicago. As I said, when we were talking to Patrick, we have people coming from Indiana, from Michigan, from all over Illinois, from Indiana. I said that already, right?
Yeah.
From Wisconsin, from Iowa, from Missouri. And then who knows who else? I know I have somebody coming into town from D.C., from the USCCB, just to witness it. Mm-hmm. So who knows who else, right? But let me tell you a little bit about who's coming to speak. So Sheila Lagminas, who many of you may know from Relevant Radio, will be the MC. And our keynote is a woman named Ramona Trevino, who is a former Planned Parenthood director. And boy, does she have a story. We had her on last month. And she gave us a little teaser about some of the things she'll be talking about. Now, she wrote a book called Redeemed by Grace. And it's just a fascinating read. A few years ago, I actually did a review on it, and it was in Catolico. So they took my review and translated it into Spanish. And that's how I first heard of her. And then I met her at a conference a couple summers ago where she was giving a witness talk. And she is now an international speaker. So we were lucky to have her. She's fascinating. She'll also be at the Rose Dinner the night prior if you really want to learn about her and get to know her. That Rose Dinner's at Pederino's, which is also on Dearborn. And that is cocktail hour at 6 and dinner at 7. And then you'll get to hear Ramona as well as Greg Schleppenbach, who will be here from the USCCB, and Ralph Rivera, who is a lobbyist for Illinois Right to Life. He goes to Springfield all the time and tries to convince, and as you can see what happened last year, he works really hard to try to convince our lawmakers that life really matters. So he'll be talking about that a little bit as well at the Rose Dinner, which is the 13th at 6 p.m. So let's get back to Ramona on the March for Life, though. So she has a great story about her experiences at Planned Parenthood. So you want to come to the March for Life to hear that as well. Not only that, but His Eminence himself, Cardinal Blaise Supich, this has been a tradition for him now. This is, he'll be speaking, and this is the fourth time that he's spoken at the March for Life Chicago. So, you know, he's very pro-life. He'll be there. Also, he has invited His Excellency Bishop Donald Hying from Indiana to speak as well. He'll be coming and, you know, bringing a group from Indiana. So he's quite a March for Life Chicago enthusiast. So you'll get to meet Bishop Donald Hying from Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. But this is a diverse group, though, and a diverse March for Life. So we're not just a Catholic event. It's actually an ecumenical interfaith event. So we also have His Excellency Bishop the Right Reverend Paul, who's the Orthodox Bishop of Chicago and the Midwest. He'll be there. And Pastor Ed Stetzer, who's an interim pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and he's also a professor out at Wheaton College. He's coming. And then, of course, we have Pat McCaskey, who you all just heard from. We also have some congressmen coming, including Peter Roskam. and possibly another that I'm not going to mention his name, but he's always there. So those of you who have been in the past know who I'm talking about. Hopefully he's going to be there. And Sarah Stordo, who is the Vice President of Loyola Students for Life and Students for Life of Illinois Intern. She'll be talking about college students and life. And then we also will be listening to a witness talk from a client of Aid for Women, which is one of our local pregnancy centers here. So it's going to be a fantastic day. Did you come last year, Ryan? You did?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. It was my first time being there. And mm-hmm. it was, a lot of energy. I'm really excited about just the flow of the day. You know, we're mm-hmm. going to start early with the youth rally. We'll be setting up bright and early. And then, you know, I think the doors open at 8 o'clock. I think that'll really generate a lot of excitement for the day and
yes.
Really get people in the right space for what is to come. Celebrating the Eucharist together, the most important thing we'll do all day, with the Mass for Life and with the Cardinal.
Absolutely.
Grab a quick bite and then make our way down to Federal Plaza and then for a really powerful experience of prayer and solidarity and storytelling, really, of mm-hmm. all these different perspectives. So I think it's going to be a really impactful day and one that really is worth your time and energy. So
it is, and I think it's more important than ever that we all join together in solidarity to stand up for life and all of the issues that come with life. Because it was a difficult year here in Illinois for life issues. Unfortunately, we now have a new law that requires us, House Bill 40 became law January 1st, now requires us to pay for abortions out of our tax dollars for anyone on Medicaid and for people who have state health plans. It's just horrendous. It's heinous. And, the governor spoke to Cardinal Supich. He promised him he would veto it. He didn't do it. So we're stuck with it for now. So this is a reason to come out. We need people to show that we love life, and just so you know, this is not a horrible screaming match. We come; it's more of a big fun party, and our theme is Love Saves Lives, which is also the theme of the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. this year, which is next Friday on the 19th. Mm-hmm. So we're joining in solidarity with the marchers in Washington, and with marchers around the country, and with all of us who believe in life, and all of the need to respect life from conception and natural death. So I ask you to come and stand up for that. And we have had some headway on the national level too. So it's a great time to come together and celebrate that.
Human dignity and solidarity. They all call for action. They all call for advocacy. And wanted to make sure that you are aware of a resource that is readily available for all of us here. The Catholic Conference of Illinois represents all of the dioceses here in the state of Illinois. Their website is ilcatholic.org, so ilcatholic.org. And they have a tab called Take Action, and periodically they update that with special kind of alerts and things mm-hmm. that are very timely that need to be discussed and that we need to let our lawmakers know where we stand as people of faith. But under that Take Action tab, there's an option to learn about how to find out who your legislators are. Some people don't know who their representative might be at the state level or at the federal level. And so it's very simple. You just put in your zip code. You put in maybe potentially your street address, depending on which zip code it is. And it quickly gives you a list of all of your elected officials right there at the local level, at the state level, and the federal level. I think it's really important that we be vocal as Catholics, as people of faith, and pay attention to what's happening in the news. Because obviously, as you said, last year brought some real challenges, and it's important that we that we advocate and that we have our voice heard.
So just as we hear in the Gospel of Matthew, we are not we should not put light under a bushel basket mm-hmm. because it doesn't shine forth and share. This is what we're talking about. We want you to come and let your light shine. Stand up with us for life. So come out to the March for Life Chicago at 2 o'clock at Federal Plaza this Sunday. Come to our Mass for Life. Join us at the Youth Rally for Life. And if you look at the MarchForLifeChicago.org website, there's other masses around the city, too, that are celebrating life on Sunday. So it's all kinds of things going on this weekend. Reasons to come to Chicago. We have people coming from all over the Midwest. Next Tuesday, right, is the Laudato Si listening group?
That's correct, yes.
So you certainly should look into that, and you can find that on the Archdiocesan website. Mm-hmm. everything else that I've been talking about is easily accessible at respectlifechicago.org or at marchforlifechicago.org. So we ask you, stand up with us, advocate. It's not for us to be quiet when we see injustice. Let's stand up for life.
And our thanks to Dawn and Ryan for a preview of tomorrow's Respect Life activities around town. And now let's change gears and hear from Vocations Director Father Tim Monahan. He visited with Juan Carlos Vargas, who currently resides at Casa Jesus, and talks about discerning for the priesthood.
Juan was just sharing a little bit about his life. Born and raised here in Chicago, Mexican family, went to Cristo Rey High School. So in thinking about your time at Cristo Rey High School, how old are you now, Juan?
27.
So 27 years old. So looking back, you've been out of school almost 10 years.
Yes.
From Cristo Rey.
Yes.
Not to make you feel old, but welcome to the club. So you've been out almost 10 years. When you look back, what was formative for you spiritually and just in terms of growth towards your vocation, towards priesthood?
Through my time at Cristo Rey, like, that was one of the things that, you know, every year we had our service retreat and our spiritual retreat, and I think those would constantly remind me of making sure that I follow this call. Kairos was our biggest retreat that ended up, like, junior and senior year. So junior year, I was part of it as a participant of the retreat and just having that encounter with God. And one of the things that I constantly remember is just God's time, just making sure that you remember that, you know, God has things for you in store and just trusting his time. And then the second, my senior year, I decided to be one of the leaders. So being able to assist others as they went through their journey and just realizing, you know, we're all broken. We all have different parts that we need to put together, and we need to invite God into those to make sure that we're able to put things together as much as we can with God pretty much holding us down. And so that spiritual aspect, I think, through Cristo Rey, being able to do that, having our monthly masses and participating at the Virgen de Guadalupe play. I was Juan Diego my senior year, which is a big honor for every senior, whoever gets to be chosen to be Juan Diego.
That's
and
awesome.
Be part of the big play for December 12th. So that was an amazing experience. Another big thing that really motivated me was service. There was always something in me that called me to serve, to help, even though that I don't have much. I knew that my time is something that is very valuable and I can give of that. And just listening, giving advice and things like that. But through Cristo Rey, being able to participate, we would go to the social justice walk over in Georgia to close down the SOA and just like learning about the School of the Americas and learning about the different lives that were affected and standing in solidarity. I constantly remember the carrying the cross and just yelling presente after each name was called and being able to go through that as a service event, but also very, very spiritual. We had a lot of reflection moments. Making sure that we remember those lives, but at the same time realize, well, what are we doing in our lives now to protect others?
It's so important because you see, especially at that age, it's very easy for us to be egotistical and kind of self-centered, saying it's all about me. How are my grades? How are my extracurricular activities? Where am I going to go to school? So it is a beautiful gift for our worlds to be opened up and to see, wait, I need to be connecting with God. I need to be connecting with others, with the poor. I need to understand, have a better sense, not like what you said, of not only of God's time, but also of his plan for me in this world. So that's very important. When you look back at your time in high school, how were you doing with your prayer life? Were you active in prayer?
Throughout Cristo Rey, like I said, you know, they would motivate us to pray. And I think that even out in the street, like I always kind of like as I'm walking or I'm driving, like prayer is always something in my life. I just carry it like a conversation with God. And to me, that's been essential in everything that I do because of the different risks that are in our communities. You know, like they would ask me, like, Juan, how many times were you asked to be in a gang? And luckily, you know, thanks to God, I've never had, you know. But if you ask my brother, who's just 2 years younger than me, you know, gang members will approach him. They would, you know, bully him and things like that. And so I think that God really walked with me. I really invited him to walk with me. And I think that that's why to this day, I might be driving or I might be walking, but I'm constantly having this conversation with God to just walk with me.
That's beautiful. And that, again, so important for us to understand here in Chicago. There's incredible diversity here in Chicago and incredible diversity of experiences. And it's beautiful to see how God was present to you in your life there at Cristo Rey and in your neighborhood and really shepherding you towards your future. So finish up Cristo Rey. What year did you graduate?
2009.
Graduated from Cristo Rey. Where were you looking to go to college? Or were you thinking of working or doing other things? What were some of your thoughts at that time?
Well, I had a lot of encouragement at Cristo Rey to apply for a four-year university, which my parents had no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. They had no idea. They would get frustrated with me, like, Juan, how's it going? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know exactly how this works. But
so you're the first one in your family to go to a four-year university?
Yes. First one in my family to actually go to high school. My parents went up to, like, sixth grade only. And so it was a big thing. So they were constantly asking me about applications. And we heard this, we heard that. But after deciding, it was either staying here in DePaul, University Loyola, or Cincinnati, Xavier University. Okay. And I decided I need to go far.
Okay, so, you chose Xavier, so you became a Musketeer.
I did.
Very good. All right, so you would have started fall of 2009.
Yes.
4 years at Xavier. Mm-hmm. And what was that time like?
It was a rough time. It was, I mean, rough, but also very rewarding. I dropped everything spiritual life. Mm. All my spiritual life was put down because I decided I need to figure out this is my call. And so I didn't join anything spiritual, didn't go to mass, didn't go to retreats, but God was constantly there pushing me, reminding me that I needed him. And so so that's my beginning of Xavier. That's how it was. My first couple of months, I called it homesickness. Mm. But I think that it wasn't just home Chicago. It was home with God. So yes. I think that after some time, I realized that I started joining retreats with the campus ministry and started getting really involved with the Center for Faith and Justice at Xavier University. So that really helped me grow as a person, also grow spiritually. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in a way, helped my parents grow as well, because they were they kept on saying that's not a place for us. Mm. And it's
what does that mean? It's not a place for us.
My parents, like, for example, the kickoff. So they have a Chicago union here in Chicago for Xavier University students, where the Chicago parents get together, have a cookout to send their students, their kids off to Xavier. And we got our invitation through the mail. And I'm like, Dad, we got to go. And he's like, no, Juan, that's not a place for us. And so at that moment, I realized that they set up walls where it's like, we are a minority. We don't speak English. We are not educated. So us walking into Xavier University is not something that's possible or not something that is right.
Wow. So your parents just did not feel comfortable even interacting with, like, going to the cookout or going to Xavier to visit?
No, they never went to any family weekends. And I would motivate them or ask them, but they're like, no, that's not for us. But after 4 years, they were able to see that they are part of me. And so they decided to come in at the end of the 4 years when I was able to, they gave me an award for student of Xavier University that I exampled the Xavier mission. And so they were really proud, and I think that was a breaking point for them.
And from Vocations Director Father Tim, we'll go to St. Joe's College Seminary for some final thoughts. But first, a quick break. Back in a moment.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about his recent trip to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. We'll tell you about the new home for local Catholic radio in the Chicago area, and we'll review a few of the major events of 2017, from the Walk for Peace to Re-Encounter to the solar eclipse.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
Pope Francis calls us to dream big and challenge one another to proclaim the good news. To help answer that challenge, you're invited to participate in the 2018 Chicago Faith Congress, Reignite the Journey. This one-day event, tailored for all who answer the call of the catechist, takes place Saturday, February 10th at Loyola University's Lakeshore campus. Go to pvm.artschicago.org to learn more about the Chicago Faith Congress. That's pvm.artschicago.org.
Pope Francis calls us to draw near to the poor, to encounter them, to meet their gaze, to embrace them. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development lives out this message of solidarity by addressing root causes of poverty. CCHD accompanies low-income communities as they confront the unjust structures that affect them. Support the work of CCHD by donating during the annual collection on November 18th and 19th. Visit cchdchicago.org to learn more and to contribute online.
Welcome back to our final segment of Catholic Chicago Week in Review. And to wrap things up, let's go to a couple guys from St. Joseph College Seminary, Joe Hinderer and Matt Pyre, for a timely discussion on the topic of baptism.
Today we're exploring the sacrament of baptism as we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord. If you're just joining us this morning, we had a chance to sit down with Father Mike Shershel, pastor of St. Hubert's Parish, and talk about the significance and meaning of the baptism of the Lord. Now, Joe and I will continue our conversation with Father Mike and also welcoming seminarian Kevin Tunnell to the program. Kevin is a junior in the college program at St. Joseph from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. We're glad you can join us on the show this morning.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, Joe, would you like to begin?
Yeah, so I suppose my first question, and this is an open-ended question, but Pope Francis has encouraged all Catholics to know the date of their baptism because it's the beginning of everyone's life in the faith. So Father Mike, Kevin, Matt, do any of you know your baptismal date?
Yes, I do know the date of my baptism. January 19th of 1997.
And mine was 6 days after I was born, so I was born prematurely. So my parents had me baptized really quickly within 6 days. So it was August 14th. Yeah. So.
Wow. Matt, do you know yours?
May 17th, 1997. Joe, do you know yours? I want to know that answer.
We can move on to another question. No, the thing is, I honestly don't know mine. It's one of those things that, you know, I could know it. It's just never really occurred to me before the radio show today. I mean, when we were discussing, you know, ideas and things like that, it came up, but I didn't really look into it because it's not something that we tend to really do, you know. I was never raised, you know, being told, you know, we never celebrated my baptismal date like we do a birthday or something like that. And so it just kind of, you know, it's very important, but for some reason, you know, we don't necessarily memorize it, or at least I didn't. So
yeah. Well, I'm sure Joe doesn't remember his baptismal date, and I'm sure none of us actually remember our baptism itself, which also works toward my next question for Father Mike specifically. You know, you mentioned that you were baptized quickly because you were a premature birth. So why do we baptize children before the age of maturity? Why don't we baptize them, all, you know, when they're able to decide whether or not they want to be Catholic, whether or not they want to be Christian?
Yeah, it's a great question because actually a lot of young people have that question too, especially those preparing for confirmation. Sometimes they'll ask the same thing: how come my parents did this and I didn't have any say in it, and things like that. But really, it's such an important thing that parents desire their children to have salvation, to have God in their life. So if they're going to feed them and clothe them and give them the things that will help them through life, say for their college education, of course they want to have God in their life too. So. It's to get baptized as soon as they can, and it's also a real, I think, kind of like a. It just acknowledges the fact that the Spirit's working in the parents' lives too, because they're somehow being compelled to do this for their child. So that's how Jesus is calling them to have this for their child as well. But it's up then to us as parents, and then also as the church, to help them understand who Christ is. So it doesn't end with just the baptism. It's also a life with Christ. So they grow up into the faith and understanding who God is in that way.
Yeah, a good priest recently told me, and actually Joe, that you give your children that which is best for you, mm-hmm. But what you think is best for them. And you don't just simply deny something because you assume that, they'll decide later what they want. You don't deny them chocolate and peanut butter and only feed them Brussels sprouts because, you want to let them find out whether it's good for them. No, you give them what is best. And if they decide later in life that they don't want to eat chocolate and peanut butter, fine. That's their decision. And with that, with making one's faith your own and deciding about whether or not they want to live out their baptism, my question for anyone really is how do we live out our baptism and realize it's affecting us if we can't remember its occurrence? How do we take on the mission of baptism, that was given to us at the moment we had the water poured on and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if we don't remember the priest pouring water on our head and saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Well, that is why the education and the faith life of the family is so important. So, that's why parents teach us how to pray and how to connect, and they take us to church. And so it becomes, part of our everyday life. And so that's what faith is about. It's about living a life with Christ every single day. And, so it's an important journey that we're all on, and we have to help each other on that journey.
Yeah. So obviously baptism is like this first initial part of our journey as Christians, as Catholics. And throughout our journey, we are called to rely on the people around us to grow in our faith, and that is primarily by being a member of the church. Right, we our faith is not meant to just be like a private celebration. Right, it's meant to be celebrated within a community, and that's within the community of the church. And so we are baptized at kind of going back to your earlier question of why do we baptize children? We're in a class together, Joe, Matt, and I. It's called Sacraments with a Jesuit priest. And he was talking about that the reason why parents choose to have their child baptized is they want to give their child the same hope and the same joy that they have. And to have that start from a very young age is really important. And it allows us to, throughout our entire lives, instead of like starting at maybe like the age of confirmation, it allows us throughout our entire lives to be members of the body of Christ.
And the other big thing is every Easter we're called to renew our baptismal promises. So as we're growing up and as we're going into the life of the church, we always have the ability to say, yes, this is what I believe, and yes, I was baptized in this, and yes, I still want it in my life every single Easter.
So then I suppose my last question, stories are always fun, but do you have any or can you share any stories of baptisms that Father, you've either performed or Kevin and Matt that we've been in attendance at that stand out as memorable or unique or just powerful? Do you have any stories that you can share of baptism?
I mean, I guess it's always powerful when a family member of yours gets baptized. And so the most recent baptism that I remember attending, at least for a family member, was my cousin, who he is in third grade now, so it was a while ago. But I just remember that being a very special day because my mom was his godmother, and so that was very cool to see my family really be a part of this mass and this very special moment in my cousin Evan's life.
I like that because I think it gets back to what you were saying a little while ago about the community of faith and how it's
every time someone's baptized, it's another addition to the community faith. And so having a family member who you're biologically related to, then join you in the spiritual family, in the family of the church, is a beautiful, beautiful thing to experience. And I share that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Joe and Matt, and our thanks to all the radio hosts and guests who joined us for a timely review of the many activities going on in the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Jim Dish for Catholic Chicago Week in Review. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Join us every Saturday morning for Catholic Chicago Week in Review. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.